Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to No Bunts, the show for the casual baseball fan on the Athletic Network. Brought to you by your sport-loving friends here at No Ducks. We love sports so much over here. I got a man sitting beside me with a baseball glove. That man is Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Heyo.
Heyo. We got a baseball liker to my right here. And we'll get to why he likes baseball, not loves baseball, a little bit later in the show. Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lee. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that, Lee.
Look, I like the game. I mean, it's got to keep my attention. That's the challenge for baseball.
I'm totally with you.
Yeah.
And a man who likes another sport, the man making the magic happen, JD.
Hello.
We'll get into your pickleball update a little bit later, JD.
It's a pickleball update. I played it once, literally once, and it's an update. Yeah. So
update us.
Stay tuned for that.
Yes, you better stay tuned. I said our sports-loving friends here at No Ducks. We got sports for everything. We got no breaks. We got a bunch. We got Survivor starting soon. Mm.
That is my second favorite sport, actually. Survivor.
You put on a good show at the Braves game that we'll get to in just a sec. But just to pitch ahead, we'll get to beach stepping, baseball style.
Wow.
We'll talk about whether Pujols or Aaron Judge's home run chase is more interesting. I think Ooh. This is a good question. I think we'll have some varying debates. We'll talk about transactions that got us really excited. Hopefully you guys got some baseball transactions that got you really excited.
Got a couple.
All right. We'll get that pickleball update. But first, yeah, that Braves game. That we went to on Friday. That is the update you are here for. Braves versus Marlins at Truist Park. I went down a little bit earlier than you guys. I was ready for the rain. My mother-in-law gave me a poncho, as Trey notes that I've got a little piece of toilet paper stuck to my Adam's apple because I cut myself this morning shaving.
A little nick. I was trying not to say anything.
I know. I was waiting for a cutaway so I could do that.
I thought we were going to a photo right away, baby.
I don't mind. I think it's a good look. Yeah. I'm going to pick that up and put it back on. But yeah, the forecast was for rain. Trey texted earlier in the day and he said, I hope we don't get rained out. Mm-hmm. We got lucky. Yeah, I got my mother-in-law packed me a poncho. That's love. I said I don't need it. I'm a tough baseball fan. I will find cover. I don't need a poncho. But anyway, I got there early, which was really nice. I got there at 5 Eastern for a 7:20 game. And our friend Seb at Terrapin let me in early. We had a bud who let us in there. So I was there before the lineups, and it was beautiful. The silence was beautiful on the ball field because no one had come in, and I got to watch the warm-ups.
As in batting practice?
Nah, there was no BP at the time, but guys were throwing some long toss. You could really appreciate how hard they were throwing.
We had a long toss.
Dansby Swanson, captain of the infield, was on his knees. He had a towel underneath his knees, and Ron Washington, the infield coach, was about 5-6 feet away. Hitting little shots to him. He was working on his backhand, forehand, transfers. It was pretty cool. You saw all the starting pitchers going through their off-day routines.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of resistance band work. Listen, the silence of the ball field is beautiful. It was wonderful. Just the smack of the glove.
You didn't get on the grass at all, did you, like down there?
No.
Didn't touch grass.
No, that would have been nice.
Yeah.
I had the overhead view of the bullpen, you know, on that Terrapin platform there, which was really nice because then JD got there second, and the lineups had already gotten into the game. And I said, oh, JD, you want to see this. You want to see this platform view, this overhead view of the stadium. But wasn't as cool when thousands of people were already in there.
Yeah, but it was still cool.
That was cool, yeah. I enjoyed it.
That's an amazing ballpark in general. And then from the view from that patio, so what's that, the Terrapin?
Yeah, the Terrapin tap room there.
Oh, you're right, yeah, but on top there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those little, I don't know what to call them, activations. They're not activations, but all the little, you know, thingamajigs.
Yeah, kind of.
That's the modern day ballpark thing. You know, you can't just sit in a seat. You got to have something cool happening here, something cool happening here. They did it well in that stadium. It is fun to take in. And then we started, the ball game started.
But you got there early.
Yeah.
Right. It was a Ronald Acuna Jr. bobble bat night. Where's your bobble bat, man?
Yeah, I didn't get in the lineups for the bobble bat.
Ridiculous. You were there at 5 o'clock for a 7:20 start, and you couldn't get the free giveaway? A Ronald Acuna bobblehead?
I
heard guys on the street offering $40 for an Acuna bobblehead! You could have made an easy $40, or you could have delighted your good friend Trey Kirby by gifting him a Ronald Acuna bobble bat.
Man, if you had
dropped
told
the ball on that one. E.T. error task.
If you had told me, I would have gotten in that lineup.
It was too late for me. I didn't notice, and I didn't know it was Acuna bobble bat night until I was stuck in traffic trying to find parking around the around the stadium. And I was like, well, definitely won't be getting one of those unless one of my friends showed up a couple hours early and hopped in line for me.
Yeah, I saw the lineups. So literally, people in line from 5. When I got there, there's a huge lineups, and I guess it was for bobble bats.
Wow.
That was shocking. So
it's the only reason a person would show up that early and not see batting practice, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. I missed out. I missed out on a bobbling bat. I've never seen that on a bobblehead.
Same. I see they got a Ron Washington bobble windmill. Windmill wash is coming up next, like September 14th or something like that. Just spins in a circle.
No.
Come on. Come on. You're down.
Are you
serious? I'm serious.
Wow. A third base coach has a bobble.
Hey, man, they got a lot
got
of 80, games.
81 games, isn't it? They got it home. Everyone's getting a bobblehead.
Amazing. So the game begun. And we saw dingers.
Woo!
Five home runs from the Braves. Pop quiz, Lee. Did we see one from the Marlins?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
good answer.
Did. Yes.
Good
yes.
answer.
Early on. Yes, early on. I mean, that's the thing with baseball. You want dingers. Because dingers, I mean, I've told the story before. I took up a group of Australians who'd all come all the way to Toronto for one baseball game. We saw one run. It was a bases-loaded walk to score. That doesn't sell it to anyone. You just got to see that ball leave the park. And it seemed to, like, every home run we saw on Friday night seemed to be like, is it going to go? 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 And then it would just clear, which is the best way to have home runs, where you're like,
really?
Oh, my God, I think so.
Yeah.
Because you're, like, building up to it.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, if you want to see someone smoke one out of the arena, that's great.
But
you could just see the build-up, the field is running back towards the fence there.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it just clears their head. That was great fun.
Yeah, three dingers early off Sandy Alcantara, Marlins starter, who's a Cy Young candidate. That guy.
Wow. Really?
Not after Friday.
No.
Sucker.
Yeah. He was coming off his major league high fourth complete game. You don't see a lot of those these days, but he's pitching those for the Marlins. And then we saw 3 2-run homers off him as some cracks happened there that fourth inning. It was a wall scraper, the first one, as you said, that Travis d'Arnaud. And then we saw Vaughn Grissom, then Michael Harris a little later, and then a couple more. Dingers later.
Yeah, my buddy Gris sent him one to the cheap seats.
My buddy Gris.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That was great. You know, I threw in a little bit of heckling towards the pitcher there, because in cricket, if the bowler is bowling, right, because you alternate from one over to the other, six ball over, when someone's bowling really bad, you bring him on from both ends. So I said that on Friday night. Didn't get any pop at all from anyone. No one even understood what I was saying. Bring him
I
on
still
from
don't really
ends.
Understand what you're saying.
Well, he's so bad that you want him to be like pitching both ends.
You want to be facing him.
Yeah,
a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this guy sucks so much. Have him bowl both ends so you can hit him all over the place. But wasn't really expecting too much of a response. And it bombed. It didn't bomb. It bombed, yeah.
It bombed a little bit. Yeah, but I think now that you've explained it, I would like to say it the next time you're around. That way I'll get a response from you at least.
Yes.
But yeah, that first home run by the Marlins, I think, was in the third inning. The Braves started scoring in the fourth inning.
Mm-hmm.
JD at one point looked at the scoreboard and said, that home run was only last inning? The Encarnacion dinger? It was like from the third inning to the fourth inning took an hour. For whatever reason. Like, the first three innings, we're cruising along, finally get some runs on the board, and it slowed down a little bit. So, I don't know. They were kind of going with both ends for Alcantara there because, you know, they just kept him in because their bullpen stinks, and he just kept giving up dingers. So, it worked out.
Well, I mean, speaking of that, JD, I don't know how quickly you can bring this up, but I actually did send you a photo of the scoreboard, and I was wondering if you can bring that up because this was a frustration I had watching the game. What's the score? What on earth is the score? Well, and who's batting?
6-1?
Well, okay.
Well, I mean, who's batting? That one's an obvious one.
Okay, yeah, but like, there is far too many numbers up on that scoreboard. Yeah. Far too many.
But if you know a baseball line, right, then, you look at that first highlighted area there at the bottom. It's 6-1.
Yeah, but again, I'm not like a big baseball head, so I'm the casual, and I'm like...
There's a lot of information.
There's a lot of numbers.
And, you know, way too many innings there at the bottom. Now, I also want to see if you can pick out something as well, Trey.
Way too many innings. Well,
there's way too many, like, 0-0-1, 0-3, 2-4-5, you know, and then you're like... And then you got the hitch, you got the errors, you got the lobbies there. And then, of course, Trey, I wonder if you can see anything else there that is a cricket reference that I've...
Another cricket reference, huh? Yeah.
You've basically got one cricket reference, and I want to see if you can spot it on that scoreboard there.
Okay, I'm looking around.
Is it the 2-2-2?
It's... Oh, come on. 2 for 22.
It's the Richie Benno part of the innings there. We have 2 balls,
2 strikes,
and we have 2 outs. So, Dansby, clear them bases. All right, hang on. See, and I can't even tell if anyone's on base right now.
Well, just look at the field.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, I just want to point that out. I think they need to make the 6 and the 1 way bigger, and that's clearly the score. To me, you've got the lobbies highlighted, and you've got the balls and the strikes
left
and the outs.
Left on base.
Lobbies.
You got those way bigger, and I'm like, I knew we were winning because of all the dingers we'd been smoking, but I just couldn't automatically go, bang, there's the score.
They should probably feature the actual score more than just the batter stats.
I disagree, actually.
You just want to see what the batter's doing?
Well, because it keeps me more engaged with each at-bat. Okay. If I know the balls and strikes and I can't see the ump, you know, I just want to know what the count is immediately. I mean, the only one I would lose is the errors. Do we need errors on the scoreboard? Like,
it is kind of like hating, just like
turnovers, I guess. I mean, but we don't have those on NBA score, do we? No.
Do we?
Not on the in-game scoreboard.
The one on the side, like with the player stats and stuff.
Yeah, it is a giant scoreboard, and I think the fact that it excuse me, is a very high definition board and you could see everything, they've added a ton to it. While if you see like a more simplified board, it's more of the essential information.
Yeah.
Your runs and hits.
The main thing you're getting at the Atlanta scoreboard is a picture of the guy who's batting. Like, that takes up 3/4 of the scoreboard.
Yeah.
And everything else is numbers.
Yeah.
So, kind of a strange choice. I mean, if you really want to see what a guy batting looks like, just look at him batting. He's right there, batting.
Yeah, we had a good view from our suite. We had some sweet seats. That was the view there. I will say it was surprising, back to the dingers for one quick sec. There's our view.
Yeah.
Beauty of a view. We saw 5 dingers and then 1 from the Marlins. Every MLB team that I'm noticing is doing something in the dugout.
Mm.
With their home run hitters. The Marlins had a football helmet that they put on the home run hitter. And, you know, it's a lot of fun for everybody else to just smack that helmet as he goes through the lineup. The Braves don't have one. They don't have a celebration. The Jays put on their blazer, the jacket. Yesterday they had trouble putting it on Teoscar Hernandez. Very funny. He puts on the home run jacket and walks through. You know, it's a cool thing that baseball should be doing. The Braves, I'm surprised. I don't think they have one.
They got a ring, I guess. It's their celebration.
Boom. Boom.
But, I thought it was cool seeing the Marlins home run helmet until I started thinking, why don't they just keep on their helmet?
Yeah.
They're wearing a helmet when they get back from hitting a home run. So they got to take off one helmet, put on the other helmet to get smacked in the head. That being said, smacking a guy wearing a helmet, very fun. Yeah. Wearing a helmet, getting smacked in the head, also pretty fun. So I understand why they're doing it.
It is pretty fun.
It also had stickers all over, right? So does that represent every home run? Or
no idea.
There's got to be something.
And it was also comically large.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah.
I don't think it was a regular helmet, was it? Is it?
It has to, well, at the very least, it has to fit the biggest head on the team. So if you don't have the biggest head on the team, it's going to look funny.
So you said, Trey, that between the 3rd and 4th took a long time. Is that the point that you and Lee looked for the batting cages? You guys left the suite, you're gone, you came back, and you said, oh, we're looking for the batting cages.
Lee confused me a little bit with that when he's like, you want to go to the batting cages? I was like,
there's batting cages here?
I thought you were just asking in general. I was like, that sounds like a fun thing to do.
Oh, like not
as
in the
a
park.
Group. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like, you know, the five of us will go to the batting cages and make a video out of it at some point. Sure. I didn't realize that you meant at the time,
yeah,
at that specific moment, but you did. So we went and checked it out. Unfortunately, the batting cages were just a bunch of kids playing catch. They didn't have a fast pitch machine that we could do, but they did have a running the bases sort of hallway, but I wasn't in the mood to run bases. Nah, just sprinting in my jeans on a Friday night.
Yeah. No, because like you always want to be able to see, I can hit a ball at least 60 miles an hour.
Sure.
It's hard to do that. And while you're right there, it's like, why not? Give it a shot. I can't believe it wasn't even open. Wasn't even operating. On a Friday night, long weekend, I would have thought like that's perfect time to have
it. That would have been the time.
Kids are up a little bit later. You know,
well, hold on. The game was happening.
Yeah, but come on.
Oh, there baseball. Were a ton of kids there.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
But
they were climbing. They were doing a rock climbing thing.
But you don't want to have a sanctioned, like, okay, this is open, so kids come.
Well, they
do
did
batting.
It last time I was there, though. That's
during
thing.
The game.
Yes, during the game.
Wow.
Because it's like,
when else are you going to do it?
Yeah. So
before the game.
Nah. You're lining
after
up.
The game. Nah. Really? You're not getting there that early before a game with kids to just do batting practice stuff.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, I think one thing they do in Toronto to keep the kids enticed is do the running the bases after the game. Mm. And
yes.
So you get on the field and actually run the bases. So
like a real base run, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how you keep the kids disciplined.
Bribe them. You have to bribe them.
You're sticking until the end of the game because you want to get on the field, kid.
I would have stuck around if we could have gotten on the field. I would love to test your arm from right field.
Ooh.
You know, like,
Yeah,
I start on first base. Lee hits a single out to right field. I'm trying to get to third base before you throw me out.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, it'd be really
be
fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, my arm is hanging these days, but
it'll be perfect. Yeah,
it'll be perfect. Yeah, it's that would be a blast. Yeah, I would wonder about Friday night. You're right; it'd be fun. Aren't there dudes just getting in there who've had a few pops and
I mean, sure.
Also would take one straight to the noggin. I don't know. I don't know how fast
it's possible.
Well, I think you can dictate how fast it goes.
The more drunk, the faster the dial gets dialed up.
But I think there is like an attendant because he's kind of like, all right, you get like three pitches and then you're out.
Uh-huh. You know, that's how the old ball game, man.
Yeah, for every beer that I have, that's another 10 miles an hour. So if I'm six beers in and my baseline is 60, I'm like, dude, that was 120 miles per hour.
It feels like 120 for us when you see it at 60. You know, like that's the thing. It's I can surely hit one of these. But,
you can.
Yeah.
You can. You got hand-eye coordination. Yeah. You put the bat on the ball.
Yeah, well, it sort of skims off as you sort of come and swing. That's the thing is, like, you think...
skims off.
It's that swing speed, isn't it, really? I mean, because you can see it, and you're like, okay, here it comes, I'm going to swing. And then before you know it, it's just...
Yeah, shorten up that swing. Choke up.
Yeah, that's
go
right.
Get it.
Yeah.
So you guys unsuccessfully looked for batting cages. Is that when you came back and just started watching tennis in the suite?
Well, it wasn't.
I think we have a video that Trey took. It was Serena.
Yeah.
Against Ayla Tomjanovic that night.
Yeah, last match ever. And the Australian. You think she's not done?
She'll be back.
I don't know. I guess you're right. She hasn't officially retired, but she seemed to imply that she wouldn't be playing again because she wants to have another baby and stuff like that. She's 41. But I mean, like, it was a huge moment in the tennis world. Ayla.
We're watching Lee in the suite. A great zoom in. So what are you thinking here as we see your reaction here, Lee, to Trey filming you on the couch in the suite, not looking at the ball game whatsoever, and your reaction is what?
Well, I think some context is needed here because it's not like I came in and said, I'm only watching the tennis night. I was watching baseball. I was trying to get involved into it. But this was also now, Tomjanovic won the first set. And I'm like, okay, this could be historic here. Second set, Serena, you know, big comeback. She actually nearly blew it in the second set as well. And then Ayla finished her off, cooked her in the third set there. So it was one of those historic moments. I just wanted to be a part of it. I mean, I'm always torn when I see an Australian out there as well. Like, I didn't know anything about her. But I'm like, you know, you can't help but not cheer for her a little bit. But also the crowd was there for Serena. Everyone in the suite there was cheering for Serena.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I didn't want to, you know, make too big a deal out of it. But I was enjoying the moment.
In that video, you're the only one sitting there watching Serena. But that was not the case the whole night. A lot of people were couching it up and, you know, checking in here and there.
Yeah.
You left the game a little early. It ended up being a blowout. Did you make it home in time to see the end of the match?
No, because I was listening on the radio and I heard it. Yeah, sure. Because it was 6-1 in that third set there. I honestly thought when she won the second set, I thought, nah, Serena's going to steamroll her in the third.
Steamer.
And she wasn't able to do it. But Serena actually out there, I mean, incredible talent, incredible athlete, you know, the greatest female tennis player of all time we've ever seen. But in her last couple of sort of games and years here, she's been like that old man at the pickup basketball, just shooting threes. Like, she's just going for haymakers with the shots, you know. She doesn't move around quite as easily as she did in the old days. But incredible career for her. And, I mean, maybe she isn't done. I think she probably is, but she's done incredible stuff for tennis.
Listen, that TV was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was hard.
TV was beautiful.
It's like, look at, I mean, the picture was so nice. It was a huge TV. It's like, why people don't go to games, you got a great TV at home.
Yeah.
Or why people look at the video board, because my eyes were drawn to it. You know, the ball field is 100 yards away. That TV was right there watching some islet. It's spelled Tomjanovich. Yeah. I think it's pronounced Tomjanovich. You know, never underestimate the heart of a champion. And Serena Williams, there's no doubt about that. But, if it was her final, at least major match, it feels like it was. I don't know. Who knows?
It was cool to have it on, because once it came down to the bitter end, you and I stuck around to see Iglesias close things out. Wasn't a safe situation, but it was, the timing was perfect, because we would like be able to watch down in the ninth inning, see like the last couple of pitches with two outs, and then flip our heads over to here to see, okay, we got another serve. We got another deuce point here.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the pitch. Okay, back to the tennis match. It felt like we were watching a tennis match while watching the tennis match.
It was hilarious. And another pregame text I wanted to get back to. We're worried about the rain. You also mentioned, Trey, that Ronald Acuna is playing. You're excited about that.
Yeah.
He's got some knee issues that he's battling through. Are you worried about it as a Braves fan going through here to the postseason?
Well, absolutely. I mean, he's the best player on the team, and he just has been in and out of the lineup. So it was good to see him actually get some at-bats on Ronald Acuna bobble bat night. I think he ended up going 2-for-5, but his hits didn't come till later on in the game. And he hit a double off the wall that was almost one of those rim grazers, barely, almost cleared the wall, did not. He rounded second, and he looked bad rounding second, like when he had to hit the brakes to kind of stop, and he just looked like he was running on a bad knee. And I mean, we're at the beginning of September now, playoffs start in not too long. I know the Braves won the World Series with Acuna on the bench last year, but you want your best lineups out there, and he's got to be a part of the best lineups.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. He got to DH all weekend. I guess that's a benefit of now that there's a DH in the NL. That's a position that he can play instead of having to put him out in the field. It feels like that can happen a lot with the Braves. They're loading up on outfield. They, you know, got Robbie Grossman there at the deadline, so that could help out. At least he would play right field, because now Michael Harris is there this year as opposed to next year. Don't need his range as much, maybe. But it is an interesting story, because he said, I guess it was through an interpreter, he said, yeah, my knee's going to be messed up the rest of the season. You don't usually hear professional athletes say, I'm hurt, essentially throughout the rest of the season. But he wants to play through the pain because, yeah, as you said, he wasn't part of the World Series championship. And I mentioned pregame, guys going through their routines. They've also got Ozzie Albies coming back to the infield, and Vaughn Grissom could go out there. I didn't mention as an outfielder, he's apparently taking fly balls out there. I didn't see that, but as an infielder, he can make that move to the outfield a lot easier than an outfielder can make it to the infield. So Vaughn Grissom could be out there. He could be long-term in the outfield. So they've got some options, but yeah, some things are working out. Albies coming back, Mike Soroka, he could be coming back as well. But the DH spot is nice for Ronald Acuna. So that's interesting. One other interesting thing I saw during this game was the headbands we talk about in the NBA. Why are they outlawing karate headbands?
Yeah.
You know, the Thai headbands. And Michael Harris II has found a way around that, because he puts a headband underneath his helmet, and then when he runs the bases, his helmet falls off all the time. And he puts headbands on, you know, any type of headband on, because I guess you can't regulate what's under a helmet.
Wow.
So he has a ton of them. There's a story in the AJC on them. He said that he gets sweaty, so he needed a headband underneath his helmet. Now, he gets them from Junk Brands. Shout out to Junk Brands. Mm. He's got a Joker headband.
Yeah.
He said he isn't a big fan of the character. I mean, it looked nice, and I thought it'd be cool to wear, so he's got that one. He's got, according to this article in the AJC, he's got normal ones. One's themed for St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
Another with a tie-dye design, Looney Tunes, Space Jam, Spider-Man, the Monstars. Someone he knows attended a game recently at Truist Park and gave him another headband. It says verified, and it has a blue check mark and owed to Twitter verification. And the money design one at the top, it's all dollar bills if you're watching on YouTube.
Cool.
Because his nickname is Money Mike. So that's pretty cool. I like, because I looked down, I said, what is that headband? I couldn't tell in the dugout, but he just has a ton of them.
I really like the tie-dye one, of course. Mm-hmm. And I mean, looking at these, you know, they're kind of like a thicker, wider headband, not dissimilar to the kind of head wraps that Tass, you and Lee wear
when you're playing basketball.
So yeah. I don't know. I'm a guy who likes a head accessory, so I would be interested in checking out, what is this, junkwraps.com?
I don't know. But it is called
Junkwraps?
Junk Brands.
Oh, Junk Brands.
Okay, that makes more sense. Junk Wraps, I think, is where you order your official MLB jock straps. Junkwraps.com.
I wonder if they have branded jock straps. Team jock straps. But yeah, I was definitely thinking of Lee and I.
Yeah, they got some bangers here. They got Starry Night from Van Gogh as a headband. I'd be definitely rocking that one.
Can you get custom ones? Get some no dunks, no buns, no buffs?
I would say yes.
I think we need to do a little investigation here.
I think so.
There we go.
Yeah. Oh, I like
Money Mellis meets Money Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, that tie-dye Braves one was sweet. Would you rather have the tie-dye Braves one or a bobble bat from Ronald Acuna?
Well, I guess at this point I'm going to have to go with the headband since...
Yeah.
Acuna, the ship has sailed.
You never know. You never know. We got friends in high and low places.
That's right.
Was it junkwraps.com, JD, or Junk Brands? What was the site?
Junkbrands.com.
All right. Nice.
Shout out to Junk Brands.
I did like getting to see Grissom, you said, hit a dinger.
Yep.
Mike Harris hit a dinger. This is the first time I'd seen them playing for the Braves this season. They're both in their rookie years. It's awesome when they get some offense going in back-to-back at-bats. I think they did that twice. During this game, like when they're able to score two runs from those two, it feels like the future is happening as you're watching it.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first time I high-fived someone in the suite who I didn't know. You know, we were high-fiving each other, but eventually, you know, you're at a baseball game when you high-five somebody that you'd never met before. You're like, that's a dinger, and we got to celebrate. We're slapping skin on that one. So I think it was on the Vaughn Grissom dinger that I finally high-fived a woman that was sitting
there. Yeah, she was very energetic. She was high-fiving everybody there. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, she was good.
Yeah, there's a lot of good connections. A lot of good hand-to-hand connections. There wasn't a lot of misses, I don't think.
Bats were hot, palms were hot that night.
Palms were hot. And you had to cool them off with some ice cream. We got a photo of some ice cream cups that are these hands we're looking at? One is Trey's, one is Lee's?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's my hand on the left.
Yeah,
it is. I can tell by the pinky nail. Forgot to trim up before I came.
Can use that as a little spoon for your little ice cream cup. Yeah, we've got the mini helmets. Skeet said he wants one for his head. He'll be back this week, by the way. I didn't mention off the top. He's back from vacation. He'll be back in your ears this week. But he's excited for these little, these helmets, these Braves branded helmets that you always want as a kid, right? They've had these forever.
From kid to adult, because when the ice cream truck rolled up to the suite, I was like, okay, you know what? I ate a gigantic sausage, so I'm not feeling too hungry. But then somebody's like, ooh, look at the helmet it comes in. And I made a beeline for it right away because exactly like you're saying, what a nostalgic thing to get an ice cream sundae inside of a tiny little baseball helmet. You're going to have to give yours to Skeets, though, unfortunately, Lee, because one of my kids went to bed with that helmet last night, woke up and put it right on this morning. It doesn't fit her head, but it's pretty funny to wear around.
I didn't keep mine, though.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, I was like, I'm not really sure what the etiquette here is to, as a grown man, to walk out with one. I mean, if I had my child with me, then you can easily say, take it. But I was like, and it was kind of like dirty as well. I'm like, I'm not going to take it. I'm just going to leave it behind. So, unfortunately, we'll have to go back and do it again sometime.
Lee, the etiquette is you take it to the bathroom, you give it a rinse, and you wear it out of the stadium on your head. That's what you got to do.
Yeah. Well, I just felt a little uncomfortable because, you know, the seats were great. The suite was fantastic. The tickets were comps. And I was like, I don't really want to walk out of here stealing stuff. But
I'm sure it just went right in the trash, unfortunately. That's what they, yeah. Yeah, I don't think they recycled it. This is America.
I hope not. I brought one home. Speaking of stealing, my only other real note from the game was I think it was Vaughn Grissom stole second base at some point.
Yeah, baby.
But his toe came off the base a little bit.
Yeah.
So we went to review. And they played, I think, the People's Court theme song.
Yeah, it was
great. It really amped up the intensity, I thought. I was like, man, this is getting me a little bit sweaty here, even though the game was pretty much well in hand.
Yeah.
Obviously, they overturned the call, gave us a chance to boo something, which I thought was great. But I don't know. It just felt like the wrong use of a challenge to me. You know, the way that just they can zoom in, enhance anything just to see if your foot barely moved off. That doesn't seem like the spirit of the replay to me.
Yeah.
But I guess that's how it goes.
Yeah, you're right. It's not the spirit of the replay, but baseball is the perfect video review game. If there's a sport that you want video review in, it's baseball.
Ba-bum-bum.
Because it's great, because it's something to watch. As opposed to, honestly, right? And they played the people's, so we're all waiting, because it was a nail biter.
It's a nail biter.
You could have bit that pinky nail to watch in those video reviews. Yeah, we saw a couple stolen bases, a clean stolen base as well. Always a good time.
Dansby got one these days.
They're down.
Yeah,
so they're down for sure. We saw some.
Yeah.
A couple other notes that I made. That was one. Definitely the Vaughn Grissom. Did you hear the music, JD? Did you like the production there?
I thought it was great. It was the perfect cue. I was just trying to look for it, actually. I have it somewhere, but
yeah, because we did shows with it once upon a.
We did
once upon a time.
Yeah.
Debating whether or not trades should have been made at the trade deadline.
We should bring that back.
That's a good idea. Yeah. That's a great theme song.
One thing we were looking at, JD, you and I at the video board was the speed and pitch type coming in. So they on that video board, not only does it show you the MPH, the miles per hour for each pitch, it gives you a decimal point, 96.4. That's pretty amazing. And then it'll give you the type of pitch that just came in. And we were debating how do they know if a two-seam fastball versus a four-seam fastball
within was pitched. one second of the pitch. That's what I was blowing my mind. Like, how can you tell it's a four-seam fastball specifically, which I had never heard of until that night? Well, how can you tell? I mean, a curveball, I could see.
I mean, the difference between a curve, sinker, slider – change to me. I can only really read a curveball myself. But maybe you know the scouting report. So Charlie Morton's pitching, you know that he throws four seamers versus two seamers. I guess they're going off that as well. They just know he doesn't throw two seamers.
Okay, yeah.
But some guys throw both. So how do you know? I don't listen, the baseball people know. They can tell between
the baseball people.
I would trust them, yeah.
Yeah, cuz there was cutter listed there.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's the difference between a cutter and a slider? Or a sinker.
Some people say it's wearing the zone. You know, you're not going to throw a sinker that's high in the zone.
That's true. Yeah, but guy could lose the pitch. I can't. I can.
Four seamer, you know, that one's going nice and straight.
Yeah,
straight and as fast as possible.
Traditional maybe a little
that's
riser.
The traditional fastball.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But so opposed to a two seam, what's the difference?
More like side-to-side movement with a two-seam.
Yeah, I would say like in the same, in cricket sense, right? Like if you're bowling as fast as you can, you basically just have it straight over the seam and then you spread your fingers out a little bit if you want to slow it down, or you put the seam across your fingers if you're trying to get it to sort of hit a certain point. So there are some...
Yeah, there's similarities there.
Similarities there for sure.
But the four-seamer versus the two-seamer is just you cross the seams... You cross both seams with your fingers for the four-seamer instead of just riding the seams with your hand for a two-seamer. Like, you're touching four different points with a four-seamer. It's more up and down movement, a little bit of rise movement with a four-seamer versus the two-seamer. But anyways, that was just interesting as we were watching each pitch come in. I don't know how they do it on the broadcast as well. It'll say it'll pop up on top, like while you're watching television, it'll pop up the exact type of pitch. There's a lot of information on broadcast now as well. If you're watching on Apple TV, there's like a 33% base hit chance on this very pitch for Josh Donaldson.
That's what they need, just more numbers on the screen, more stats.
I know, some people hate it. There's an article on The Athletic, Joe Maddon, legendary baseball coach, just ripping apart analytics. If you want to go read that, he voiced his hatred for analytics. I don't know if the word hatred is the
displeasure.
Right word. Yeah, maybe displeasure, because a lot of managers take it all into account. But yes, it can get overwhelming. It's a nice balance, and that's why we have this casual baseball fan show.
Joe Maddon, though, wasn't he like a Tampa Bay Rays coach?
Yes.
And they're like heavy in analytics. I know he won a World Series with the Chicago Cubs. Theo Epstein is the GM, huge into analytics.
He is.
But maybe he's just salty from getting fired this season after cutting a mohawk, and that's why he's saying he doesn't like analytics. That seems crazy to me, having so much success with these analytic-based teams.
That's a fair point. You know your stuff about Joe Maddon. Yeah, he fired from the Angels this year, if I am correct.
I just know he showed up with a mohawk, but didn't even get to show the team. They were like on an 8-game losing streak or something like that.
Well, yeah, the lead is with every word he speaks publicly these days, the one-time avant-garde manager is casting analytics in a different light than he once did.
Interesting.
What a twist.
Change of heart.
M. Night Shyamalan twists right there. Did you guys know that you were part of an attendance record? The Braves announced that 42,161 in attendance for their 33rd sellout, setting a single season high of 2.6 blah, blah, blah at Truist Park, which opened in 2017.
Wow.
Business is booming at the Battery.
Lot of money out there.
A lot of money out there.
That's why they moved, isn't it?
Oh, you betcha. Yeah.
That probably does seem legit, because I was surprised at just how many fans there were deep or high up in the bleachers for a Friday night Braves Marlins tilt. I mean, if it's the Mets, we're going against them, you can understand why they're packed in there. But Marlins, I thought probably would be a few empty seats there Friday. Wasn't that many. So, you know, I mean, the numbers are always fudged a little bit, but there was a pretty decent turnout. So I guess so. I mean, the reigning champions as well. So people want to be a part of it, don't they?
They're fourth in attendance, Atlanta Braves are this year. You want to name the top five?
Yankees.
Yankees are third.
Sox. Red Sox.
Sox.
Sox. No Sox.
No Red Sox.
Red Sox.
They're top 10.
LA Dodgers.
LA Dodgers, one with a bullet. Good one, Trey. I guess because it's such an old stadium, capacity is pretty high, but they have 48,000 per game, which is 8,000 more than the second place team. So you named Dodgers,
Cardinals.
Yankees. Cardinals are number two.
Yeah.
Nice one.
And then the fifth one, it's a forgettable baseball franchise. But they do well. We've talked about them a lot.
San Diego Padres.
San Diego Padres. Boom. Good stuff. Knocked them out.
That is good news, though, for the Braves, because, as people know, they're owned by a publicly traded company, and they're always talking about like how attendance has a huge effect on the payroll for the next season, which is why some people, myself included, were kind of upset that things went south with Freddie Freeman. Like, they had an incredible season last year. Obviously, they had enough money to pay him. But fans continue to turn out, which is good because, like you've talked about on the show previously, Tass, the Braves have a lot of these young players locked up for years at a time because people are fired up about the team right now. You got to still be able to pay for them down the line. So good stuff. Keep going to these games and, you know, the Braves will keep winning rings. We'll see.
Yeah, they've got guys at great deals. But that is one thing. Reading about baseball that is different than reading about basketball. It's more about the haves and the have-nots in baseball. Like, you are operating as a front office under certain conditions in baseball. Like, certain teams just don't have money. While in basketball, yes, there are teams that have more money, but there isn't a variance. Like, the Braves are, you know, towards the upper, you know, upper tier of teams with money, but there's so many players. We talked about Nolan Arenado last week that got dealt for peanuts because his team couldn't pay him. That doesn't happen in the NBA, right? Like, you could pay because there's a salary floor,
right?
You pay guys max. There's a couple max slots, and that's what you're looking for in basketball. But in baseball, sometimes you just say, hey, like, we have to break it down to get good again and try and find different salary points because they just don't have as much money. Now they you know they're trying to correct that, but yeah, the variance is bigger from you know $50 million payroll to like a $250 million payroll.
There's definitely more teams, it feels like, in baseball that will not field a competitive team because they're not getting paid, you know, on the backside of it as well. Like a Pittsburgh Pirates, you have to just have like everything line up perfectly to have a good team in Pittsburgh, which, like you're saying, there's a reason baseball's trying to fix it because It's kind of ridiculous that you don't have to spend money. And when your good players come up, you just trade them away. I would not want to be a fan of a team like
but
that.
But isn't it like the Yankees and the Dodgers are like, why do we have to revenue share? We're making our money.
Yeah.
Who cares about them? Isn't that one of the big sort of debates?
Yeah, I think that has... There's a slow correction on that because, well, you're not going to have anybody to play.
Yeah.
I mean, these teams are just going to go away if you just get to pay, you know, based on your market. But the salaries are crazy. I mean, when I just said $50 million payroll, I thought to myself, does that still exist? But, man, the numbers are pretty low for a lot of teams. 43 is the lowest currently, while 265 is the highest. So there's a huge range. Yeah, the average is like 150, but you got teams like the Baltimore Orioles who are playing above their heads right now trying to chase our Blue Jays and trying to get into the playoffs. They're at 43 mil in spot number 30. Anyway, we'll move on from that. Let's not get into too much of the dollar.
Business of baseball.
Yeah, too much.
That's where I first learned about a salary cap back in 1994. You know, during the strike, I remember
God,
some jokes of people like putting lettuce on their heads. Oh, what's a salary cap?
Jays could have gone for the three-peat, couldn't they, when they went on strike? Was that right?
You better believe it.
Yeah.
We could have got we're sitting here with our No Bunts shirts. We got an Expos and Blue Jays shirt here. These are our uniforms. 1994 could have been that World Series. It could have been Jays Expos.
Wow.
At the strike. Wow. When the strike happened, they were leading each league. It could have been them. That could have been.
Yeah. All Canadian World Series. Wild.
Mm-hmm. Extremely wild. I agree with you. I agree with you on that. It was wild. Speaking of Canadian, one note I took during the game, I just wrote bat catcher. Because that's a Canadian term for catcher. Like, what the hell is a bat catcher? I mean, they're starting to get rid of it. They just say catcher now. But people will call a catcher, the position, a bat catcher. Doesn't happen in America. It's just a weird thing.
Why?
Why would you catch a bat? Yeah, I don't know.
You telling me when you were growing up, you were calling Pat Borders a bat catcher?
Oh, 100%.
I don't believe it. I don't 100%. Believe it. I think you called him a catcher.
No, a bat catcher. In fact, I probably, for the first 15 years of my life, called it a back catcher.
There was
that makes more sense to me, actually.
It kind of does, right?
Yeah. The one thing they don't catch is a bat. But right. They stand in back of a guy. They're the only player that stands in back of a guy.
Someone nearly caught a bat on Friday when it smashed. It went way up into the air and into the dugout, didn't it, I think?
You mean he just lost it?
He broke the bat.
Oh, yeah. On a foul ball, I think.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it was dangerous.
I was watching tennis. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was it dangerous?
Comes for all of us at once.
So it went into the crowd?
No, it went into the dugout there.
Oh.
And you sort of saw it. Because guys, like, when you see it up and then they realize it's coming, it's not like a ball where everyone's trying to catch it. Everyone's like, sort of get out of the way, and you don't want to get donked on it.
Harder to judge where it's going.
Oh,
probably.
Exactly. Yeah.
They should wear that football helmet at all times in the dugout.
All right. Anything else to add? Because I could complain about not being able to get an Uber out of the stadium. That's one thing. They haven't corrected. That's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
How long did you wait?
40 minutes or so.
Oh, yeah.
But I ended up just making a deal with one of the cab drivers. It's so bad that cab drivers come sit there. Sorry, not cab drivers. Uber and Lyft drivers come sit there, turn off their Uber and Lyft, and just make a deal with the person.
Right.
Because instead of getting it called over, they just show up early, turn off their thing, and make a deal for above rate.
Wow.
So that's what I did. That's above rate.
You got to pay cash, though?
You got to pay using an app.
Okay.
You know, Venmo, Cash App, or whatever.
Nice.
Or cash. Sure. I guess they accept
it. Not through the ride sharing
app. Yeah, not through the ride sharing app.
Enterprising.
Are you prepared to share how much you spent?
60 bones.
Whoa.
Which, whatever. Fuck.
I mean, it probably would have been that.
No.
No?
No, 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 no. That's when it was overrate. It was, it took me 40 to get there. And then it's just, there's just not enough cabs. You literally, people are just sitting there waiting. just sitting there waiting. it's just so weird.
Yeah.
And then you get into these situations. I actually got one that was coming early or coming in a decent amount of time. It was like 10 minutes. And then I guess he didn't like my destination or something. I called him. I said, "Where are you? Are you around? It seems like you're around. I'm looking at this sign." He said, "Yeah, I'm looking at that sign too." Okay, then let me get in your car and let's leave. For some reason, the connection just dropped. I don't know.
Wow.
That's been like that for years at that ballpark.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Anyway. You guys are going to be mad, but I accidentally went into the wrong lot, which was right next to the arena. So within a 10-minute walk to where we were sitting. So I go in and I literally say to the guy, I realized I was in the wrong line, you know, halfway into it. And I was like, all right, fuck it. I'll just tell the guy that I don't have a permit. It said permit only.
Yeah.
He said, I don't have a permit. He just said, all right, go left. And I just parked. And then I went to one of the shuttle drivers and I was like, I don't have a permit. And should I pay? Am I all right there? He's like, well, if he let you in, you're in. So I didn't pay for parking.
Nice.
Right next to the arena or the stadium. And I left in the seventh inning stretch. That's right. I left early because it was a blowout and I wanted to beat the traffic. And I just fucking blew right out of there. And I got to see a home run from outside of the stadium, cool. Which was great. And the theme from The Natural. So good. Fireworks and The Natural. Yeah. It's like amazing. And I saw it from the other side. So it was good.
And you didn't give
us a good tip, actually.
You didn't give us an Irish goodbye.
Yeah, I did say goodbye because, you know, shout out to Seb who hosted us and he just, you know, gave us free beer. He gave us a tour of not the brewery, but we got into the vat room, I guess, and got to preview some IPAs, which is pretty cool.
The bright tanks, I think they call them.
Mm, yeah.
The fresh beer coming in. Yeah, that was pretty cool. So that's why you did an Irish goodbye, because I couldn't tell if I should be insulted that you didn't give an Irish goodbye or that it was
for Seb and Seb alone.
It wasn't for us.
I had to say bye to Seb, and you guys were just happened to be in the vicinity, so I thought, I might as well say bye to you guys too.
You also had pickleball the next day.
I had pickleball the next day, that's right.
Yeah, we'll get into that very soon. Anything else anybody else wants to add? Or are you ready?
I made a couple of notes here. I got one advertising, very aggressive advertising at the game on the ground. Look at this from Ford. Buy Ford now. They've just given up. Have they? They said, right, we're not even going to try to seduce our audience. Just tell them. Buyfordnow.com. That's the website.
You want like a sexy URL out there?
I just don't want to be forced or bullied into buying a Ford while I'm at a baseball game.
Well, also, why not just Ford.com? Exactly. I mean, that's probably the site anyways, right?
Yeah. Buy Ford now. Like, I'm not necessarily needing a car. I'm not necessarily into Ford. You're just telling me to do it. So, didn't like that. Thought it was a little bit too...
A little pushy?
Yeah.
A little in your face.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I found is the food was there. It was included. And, JD, you seem to be really enjoying a dog that you picked up there.
I was tucking into that. Italian sausage. I had two wings and an Italian sausage.
Wow, look at that. I mean, this was
like, you know, well, Lee, you just get into my face and I'm like, smile. Like, I had just taken a bite. Like, I probably mustard all over my face right now. It's like, this is going to be the most unflattering photo.
That's true, JD. That's why I wanted to bring it up. Because when I pulled out the camera, I know when you're eating, sometimes you're like, hang on, let me just wipe my face. But instead, you just dropped that dog and gave me the thumbs up. I'm like, okay.
Well, JD's enjoying himself. I'm a pro. Yeah. I'm a pro.
Yeah. So that was great. Yeah. And then
No mustard. You're good, JD.
Just straight down. And then later in the evening, we almost saw a breakout of Gary, because we saw Tass. He was peering into the hard liquor there, Tassie. You didn't go in the end, did you? I didn't see you. Well, I saw you talking to the like attendant. And then he left, and you were still sort of weighing up your options there.
Yeah, not a staged photo whatsoever. I was talking to the attendant because I was being a courteous fellow. And then Lee says, hey, turn around well, and look at those bottles. Just look at those bottles. And I said, okay.
Yeah.
And so we got some shots of me looking at the bottles I wasn't going to touch. It's like you're in a suite.
Yeah.
And these are all just bottles on a shelf.
Yeah, I thought they were, I literally thought they were props.
Yeah, they look like props.
But I saw guys taking it down and just like pouring themselves drinks. Yeah, they were part of the sweet experience, I guess. I guess so. The ice cream. Yeah. So.
Well, I wanted to get the real live action shot, but I couldn't get the camera and get it ready in time and get close enough. So I had to say, all right, Tash, stage it.
Yeah, I was just being polite to the guy because he was telling me about a local brewery that, not a brewery,
distillery.
Distillery, that's the word. A local distillery that makes all those.
Oh.
And then I, pretended to look at them. I wasn't even digging in. I mean, everybody was leaving. Lee was leaving. Trey was leaving. Trey stayed till the end.
Yeah, my intention was to stay to the end. But, man, when you get to that, what was that hour-long innings we had? You get to the seventh inning stretch, it's a blowout. I'm like, all right, I got to go. I tried.
You showed up minutes before the game.
Yeah. Yes.
And then what inning did you leave in?
Well, it was after the seventh inning. Like we did the root for the home team.
Got to root.
And then, because the other thing is, I've got a bit of a question with the timing clock there, the shot clock now, the pitch clock, because it counts down, right? How long is
inning,
it?
It's just between innings, not a pitch clock. It's not a pitch clock.
Is that all it is?
Yeah. You're just seeing a clock between the innings that it's coming back.
Think there's a pitch clock, isn't there?
Yeah, I think there's between like a guy going out and the next guy coming up. That's what I thought it was. I'm pretty sure it was.
I definitely saw a clock. It seemed like a shot clock.
Yeah.
But
like 24, I can't remember how long it was, but it was say 24 seconds and it would count down and I'm like, okay, great. And then it would just count down and they still weren't ready. So it's really like a 35. It's more like the college shot clock.
On here? It's not up here.
No, but it
was lower.
Yeah, no, it was under that scoreboard.
I don't know.
But I liked it because I thought, okay, good if they're sticking to that, but they don't really stick to it. It's...
It's just a soft.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely a pitch clock that they're working with in the minor leagues in between pitches, which is speeding up the game.
Yeah.
But I thought that was just an old in between innings were coming back. But there may be a time on a pitching change. I could see that.
Yeah.
A pitcher coming out. I think there's a time.
Well, this was, like, say, between one guy popped out.
And then the next batter to come up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff, everybody. Glad we got to go to a game. It was very, very enjoyable. It was a lot of fun. Thanks to Seb. Thanks to Terrapin. Thanks to that beautiful platform. I took the pregame routines in. It was very, very nice. Sorry about the bobblehead, Trey. Maybe I'll ask him if not the bobblehead, bobble bat.
Bobble bat.
Oh, bobble bat.
Yeah, I haven't checked on eBay to see what they're going for, but.
I mean, there were lineups.
There were lineups, of course.
I couldn't believe it. For a bobble bat?
For a bobble bat, man. Limited edition for the star of the team.
Well, earlier in the week, they had given away an Ian Anderson bobblehead, and he's in the minors, currently working on his game. One of those situations.
I see.
So that one's probably given away on eBay, I imagine. Ian. Helped the team get to the World Series last year. Maybe he's just a big game performer because he's had a bit of a regular season slump. But they've got a lot of questions going into the playoffs. Who are we playing? We have so many bodies. Anyways, we have some questions that we'll get to in the next segment. Baseball, beach stepping. Stay tuned for that. We'll get to some pickleball, Pujols judge debate. We'll be right back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, baby, you're back with No Bunts. Shout out to all the Bleacher Creatures watching live on YouTube, and to everybody who emailed us, nodunks@theathletic.com, because we got some great questions. Let's hit the beach. Ah, yeah. We're headed to the beach to read your emails. First one, hi. The Blue Jays recently signed Jackie Bradley Jr., which sparked a question I have that's more of a No Bunts question than a No Dunks question. Jackie Bradley Jr. has been a Red Sox player for as long as I can remember, and I was fortunate to get to meet him when he traveled to play the Jays back in 2019. I had always remembered him prior to that thanks to his name. I mean, how can you forget that name? But after our interaction, I couldn't forget him, mainly because of how nice he'd been. Since 2019, I had been hoping that somehow JBJ would become a Blue Jay, and that dream came true. Anyhow, after conversing with a few friends and finding out I was the only one actually excited about the signing, I thought of a question. Have you ever been excited about a player signed by your favorite team simply because of a positive interaction or memory you have with that player? I realize this could apply to baseball or basketball or any sport, really. Yeah, you know we're going to take it anywhere. But since it's baseball news, I'm curious if you have an answer that involves a baseball player. Thank you. That's from Ellen in Toronto, Ontario. Thank you for the email, Ellen.
You can tell as well it was from Canada because it's got the U in favorite there. Yeah. And it's being highlighted as being misspelled in the United States. So I've got a basketball one, but I will leave it. I'll go to baseball because 2006 I returned to Canada, to Toronto. Very excited to get back into the Blue Jays again. And a guy who I'd had on my fantasy teams prior just signed with the Blue Jays in 2006. You know who it is, Tassie? He's a catcher. Who could also swing
bat
a little.
A bad catcher who could swing it.
He's famous.
Russell Martin.
No.
He's famous.
He's not, well, he's famous between you and me because this guy's a big man. He's a great catcher. And he's a big hitter as well. He is one of the three Molina brothers, Benji.
Benji Molina.
So yeah. I was excited because I'd seen Benji. You know, he's one of those guys. He's you know, bit heavier for a baseball player, but he used to just swing and hit either dingers or strikeouts. And he was on the Blue Jays.
Forgot about that one.
So I got to see Benji Molina in person. It was fantastic. And never met him, never got to interact with him. I actually
did. Yeah, that's where I was thinking, because I was thinking all the catchers that you met while working at the Score. Yeah, I was thinking Jorge Posada. He wasn't a Blue Jay. Yeah.
No, well, I never met Benji, but, you know, Brad James, he used to do these features, and I used to shoot them for him. And he did a feature on all three Molina brothers, and I shot a couple of those. So, yeah. Benji Molina.
Very nice. I got to ask, what was your basketball one?
Well, my basketball one was my two of my top three favorite players of all time is Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon. I wanted to see those guys in person, and I did get to see them in person when the Washington Wizards came to the Toronto Raptors for a preseason game in 2002. And I saw Michael Jordan versus Hakeem Olajuwon right at the end
of their
career.
Wanted to see it.
Preseason game too. Like, it's funny, isn't it?
And
like,
they both played.
Yeah, they both played, yeah. And it was incredible. So I finally got to see them, but not quite as I could have imagined in the early 90s or, I guess mid to late 90s there as well would have been great. But, yeah, Keem, the Raptor, and Benji, the Blue Jay.
Man, I'd forgotten about Benji, the Blue Jay. Trey, do you have an answer to this question?
My basketball answer is when Dwayne Wade signed with the Bulls. You know, it didn't go well, but it was exciting when it happened. Him coming back to Chicago. You know, I'd met him a few times through our work at the Starters, and he was always really cool. And he's one of my favorite players ever. Like I said, didn't go great with the Bulls, but it was cool that he signed there. That was the most exciting part of it. As for baseball, I had a little more trouble with this one.
Yeah.
And I think it... I never had an interaction with this guy, but just a player everybody liked was Bo Jackson. And when Bo Jackson returned from his NFL injury to baseball, he came and played for the Chicago White Sox, hit a dinger in his first at bat with the White Sox. It was really exciting, but, you know, that was probably the biggest moment Bo Jackson had as a Chicago White Sox. I remember he was wearing batting gloves that had a question mark on the back of them rather than, like, I don't know, Franklin as a big batting glove brand or something like that. So... that was cool to get, like, you know, one of the sport's biggest stars playing for a Chicago team.
is you just made me think of, as soon as you said Bo Jackson, I thought BoJack Horseman. is that where BoJack Horseman got his name, from Bo Jackson?
It's got to be related somehow. Yeah. It's too close You'd otherwise. Think. They just threw a horse in there.
BoJack the Horseman. Yeah, I don't know if there's any other significance, but maybe. Maybe it's just Bo. Bo being Bo. Great Bo answers there. Great answers. Benji and Boji. Good stuff there. Very, very good.
What about you?
Tony Fernandez for me. I'm wearing this Blue Jays shirt. Tony, if you're a Jays fan, you love and adore Tony Fernandez. He got around. He did some things for other teams as well, the Indians, and got around. But I was just upset when they traded him away as part of the Joe Carter Roberto Alomar deal, because he didn't get that first taste of the first World Series. But they got him back at the deadline, I think, for the '93 season. So he was the shortstop for the '93 World Series team. Nice. And that felt perfect. He came back and played for the Blue Jays another two times. He played with the Jays four different times.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And he happened to be an All-Star in '99. So I think it's year 17 for him.
Wow.
So he was an All-Star five times, I do believe. So 86, 87, 89, 92 with the Padres there, and then 99 with the Blue Jays. And yeah, the World Series championship may have not happened without him. He had 9 runs batted in during the series, which was a record for a shortstop at the time. It may still stand. I'm not sure. Wikipedia says that was a record at the time. So Tony, not known really for his bat, but he had a lot of base hits. I mean, he's .288 average throughout his career, 2,200 hits. You just made me think of Yadi Molina, because you brought up that Yadi was a hitter. I didn't know how great Yadi has been. He's had about 2,200 hits as a catcher as well. He's going to retire this year. So you know your stuff, man. You know your Benjis.
who's the third Molina brother?
There's Jose, isn't it? I think it's Jose, Yadi, and Benji.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
I think.
So many Molinas.
Yeah.
So many Molinas.
I'm sure.
Yeah, Jose Molina. Yeah, that's right. Okay, he played the Yankees.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Yankees, next question here. What's more interesting to you, Aaron Judge's chase for 61 home runs or Albert Pujols' chase for 700 home runs? And just a note, Judge has 54, hit his 54th dinger yesterday, and Pujols has 695, one short of A-Rod and a few short of 700, being part of the four-man club, because there's only three that have hit 700. This was an interesting one to me. Trey, what's your answer for this one?
Yeah, 700, more exclusive, but I'm definitely more interested in Aaron Judge making a single-season chase. I think it's just the time constraints on it are what is so interesting. Like, he only has until this season ends to get to 61, 62, whatever, is the goal he's chasing.
Yeah.
He says chasing 61. Is that what he's chasing?
Yeah, he's chasing 61.
Okay. I mean, fair enough. It's not the record.
That's the Yankees record, though.
It's the Yankees record.
Yeah, but then wouldn't he be chasing 62 to break it? Nonetheless, I'm more interested in that. Like, when he gets to 59, I'll be wanting to see all of those at bats. Whereas with Pujols, like, I just saw our buddy Grish said he's got a 41% chance to get to 700 this season with the way things are going. He's really picked up. But if for some reason he doesn't get to 700, he could easily come back next year. I know everybody thinks that when somebody says they retired, it means they're gone for good. But I also know Lee just told a story about seeing Michael Jordan play for the Wizards, so I don't necessarily believe it. A single season accomplishment to me, just because it can only happen during one year, is more exciting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if Pujols gets 699, what does he do then? You know, does he like, man, I got to come back and just crack 700. Because as you mentioned, there is only three other guys who have done it. And two of those are the most famous names, I think, in baseball, Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth. So Barry Bonds obviously being the leader there. So I think he desperately wants it. It'd be pretty funny if it came down to that last game and he's on 699 and he's got to
cranking.
He has to go for it. So doesn't really make any difference to me, but Pujols is a guy who I do know, and I've followed him a little bit, and it'd be nice to see him crack 700 and, you know, just leapfrog Rodriguez there as well, A-Rod.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw A-Rod's video that he put out talking about making a comeback himself if Pujols gets him. Very, very funny video. talks about. He has a huge puff of his cigar, puts it down on the railing, and says that he's coming back because number 13 is available with the Yankees apparently. Anyway, so that's the chase. I like Judge's. I'm more interested in Judge's because not only is he chasing 61 or 62, it's a good point, yeah. but he's also chasing 60, just to get to 60 because no one's hit 60 since Bonds in 2001. So that's a long time ago to be part of the 60 homer club. The first since the juice era would be pretty neat. So I think he's chasing a couple things there. While Pujols chasing 700 and. Listen, that's American League bias over here. That's happening. That happens with me. I was never a huge follower of the NL, so I was never I was a Pujols respecter, but I was never never riding with every one of his swings. But cool to have him having a bounce back year. It's incredible that it is 41% a chance there to get to 700 because no one expected him to get to 700 because he's having his best year in a while. But he could. Another pinch-hit home run in his last one. He's had two pinch-hit home runs. If you're a left-handed pitcher, if you're the manager of the other team, you got a left-handed pitcher on the hill, you just don't throw to Pujols. You just don't. Put in a righty. You got to be scared of this guy. This guy is amazing against left-handed.
Taking your chances with Paul Goldschmidt? Good luck.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Fair point. A
lot of talk right now about who's going to win the AL MVP between Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani's doing it on the mound as well. But Judge is kind of carrying the Yankees to the playoffs here. They had that great start. He's been the only guy who's really been able to keep it up. You got an opinion, Tassie?
Ooh, Trey. I'm leaning Judge, which is crazy.
All rise.
I am. Because of all the stats, if you go through, he's leading in so many stats. And I think, now looking at the Angels, although no one does, obviously, what Shohei Ohtani does, he should be MVP every year, people say. I think one detriment, and we should get an expert to talk about this, is that he pitches every 6 days. That they lengthen their pitching rotation to 6 guys to give him more freshness. And they obviously don't have 5 other good pitchers. And so maybe that is a bit of a detriment to the team that they have to throw out 6 guys when they don't have enough to throw out there like a regular rotation. So I'm knocking that from his MVP candidacy.
Fair enough.
I don't know enough about baseball to do that, but I need it to split some hairs, so I'm doing it. I think, the judge storyline has taken over, and it's probably unfair to Shohei Ohtani because we don't know. I think every baseball writer and fan will also say we don't know how to evaluate this.
Yeah,
we just don't.
He's going to get LeBroned a little bit where it's like clearly he should be the MVP because even if he's only pitching every 6th day, I checked Aaron Judge's pitching stats. He hasn't taken the mound yet this season. So Ohtani should clearly be the MVP every year that he's still one of the top 10 pitchers and batters in the league. But he's not going to get it because the Angels stink because of those other 5 days that he's not able to be out there pitching. So
yeah.
I think there are going to be a lot of times when Lee's going to look back when he's giving out his AL MVPs for the past 20 seasons, and Ohtani's going to come up short just because the Angels can't win games.
Yeah. I mean, he'll win something else, though, won't he? Like pitching award or...
He's
a Cy Young candidate, but not a highly rated Cy Young candidate.
So he's like, he's really good at two, but not almost. Well, I mean, he is elite, though, isn't he? He's elite, but there's other guys who are just a hair better than him, yeah. I mean, personally, he's doing two things. So he should be the MVP, but I know that's not necessarily how it works.
Judge has not taken the hill. You know who has taken the hill this year? Yadier Molina. They had 2 appearances.
There you go. There you go.
I don't know how that happens, but they do that in baseball. All right, we'll take a quick break, but after it, JD's pickleball story.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trey reading that in his baseball glove.
Isn't this nice? Honestly, like, this is so good. It looks like I'm never looking at notes, just checking to see what the catcher wants me to throw here. In reality, I know we got the C block coming up. We got JD's pickleball update, so that'll give a...
That's how they should serve popcorn at a baseball game. Get like the ice cream in the helmet, baseball, the popcorn in the glove, yeah.
All right, great stuff there. Now, on to my most treasured part of this show. I was very excited to hear about JD, who had to leave the ball game at a decent time. He had things to do, mm-hmm. including playing pickleball for the first time the next day. Ain't that right, JD?
That's right. My wife signed us up for a 3-hour beginner pickleball clinic that started at 9 a.m. So, yeah, I left right after the seventh inning stretch because I wanted to get that stretch in before playing 3 hours of pickleball. and it was as Borat would say, a great success. I loved it. Like, so fun.
You're a pickler now.
I'm a pickleball head. Is that what a pickle? Pickleball head?
Pickle head, sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have some complaints. The first being, you can't take a good picture playing pickleball. Because the instructor she went around and she took pictures of everybody playing. And here's one. This is actually... Rachel playing. She's in beast mode.
Cool. Look at that.
Yeah,
impressive.
That's all right. She's ready. She's ready.
She's on her toes, ready to pounce.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then here's me. And you know how when you think that you're playing pickup basketball and you think, man, I can't wait to see the footage of that. Like,
yeah.
Because I sped down the court and the highlights of this are going to be amazing. And this is me standing at the ready to return and just having the time of my life. Now, to be fair, like, we were playing for 3 hours.
Yeah.
But then the only other shot that I'm going to put up is this unflattering thing where I'm hunched over trying to get a ball. But, I thought I was, Serena out there.
Yeah.
But, you can't look good playing pickleball, unfortunately. But, great time. And right before it started, there's I'm almost reluctant to tell this, but I'm going to it. It was a very cool story, bro. But she's taking attendance. There's 25 people there.
Wow.
Yeah, 25 people. So... she's going down the list and she reaches this person's name. I don't know what her real name is. She said, actually, I prefer to go by Bun Bun. And she tapped her like the top of her head, like it was sort of a topsy tail type do. And she had a visor on. Like, what? Bun Bun? Really? This woman was in her 50s and she wanted to be called Bun Bun. So I'm like, okay. Then they called Rachel's name, and I thought I'd be right after her, and I wasn't. And then I start thinking to myself, I'm going to say, when she calls my name, actually, I prefer to be called Bun Bun as well. And it took literally everything in me not to say that. Because it would have been awkward. Like, it would have fallen completely flat.
You think it would have been another Lee Ellis in a meeting?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. This is gonna fall flat, and then I'm gonna have to spend the rest of the day with these people. And but as you know, I thought it was funny. I thought it would have been hilarious. It would have been exclusively for Rachel, who would have died, because afterwards we're like, Bun Bun. Really?
I'm disappointed you didn't, JD.
I know. I'm actually disappointed in myself, like, now.
Because
that
sure, if it bombs, it bombs. But if it hits, you're the king of that.
Right?
Yeah, everyone's like, man. That's...
Yeah. Setting the tone, right?
Exactly.
Like, we're already trash talking each other, making fun of each other's names.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Bun Bun.
How would a Bun Bun have taken it? What do you think?
I don't know. That's a thing. Mm. Not well, I don't think.
Serious business. Pickleball.
Yeah. Bun Bun. Yeah.
Not messing around.
Anyway, pickleball, great game. Highly recommend it.
Why was the person taking photos at the beginning?
Oh, that was just the instructor as things were going. I think that's what she does. Like, and then she just shares it in a Google Doc. You know what I mean? Just to, hey, remember all the fun we had at this pickleball clinic?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's a nice keepsake.
Yeah, I guess. I'm going to get this one framed.
Yeah.
It's like, clearly I don't want to be there, but based on my body language, I'm going to have to work on that. Also, I've got, in case you're wondering, I've got two pickleballs in my pocket there. Yeah. Guys.
I was wondering. And a very low brim.
Yeah, you look like an MLB closer getting ready to come in here.
Yeah, I'm getting signals from my partner. And I was actually wearing, I've still got the junk website up because I was wearing a headband under my my hat, which is, you can see the sweat still coming through. So hot day in Atlanta. Mm.
Pickleball question. This is a dumb pickleball question, but I saw
the
photo. The photo where you weren't beside Rachel, I guess you weren't playing as a team. Do you play on the same side as your partner in pickleball?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, normally it's doubles.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So, and I was playing singles. That's another thing about the clinic itself. I got screwed. I went for a Sir Foster just as people were pairing off and whatever. And so Rachel was just standing there, and there were three, and we're like, hey, do you got a partner? It's like, well, my husband's coming back, but okay, I'll go with you. And then she was gone for the rest of the day. Mm. So I was in the odd group out, so there was three. So I was playing singles against against two ladies, and they were destroying me because they're better than me, and also it was, it was singles, which is... It's way faster than tennis, if you've ever played tennis.
Yeah, but it's a lot more ground to
you
cover.
Were playing on a tennis court, by the looks of it.
Then. Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so you can fit
two
pickleball courts on
one normal,
tennis ball. Yeah. So there's it's a wiffle ball, so it actually, people get... Apparently, detached retinas are very common in pickleball because you can just get beamed by them, so... Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's fun, totally fun.
Hmm.
And then Tass sent me an article that morning that was in the New York Times saying pickleball is more like chess. I almost canceled right then because I'm like, I can't wrap my head around like playing chess on a tennis court.
Hmm.
We didn't really get into the strategy yet. But I was just happy to bounce that ball right across.
Yeah.
It was good.
Opposite corner is where you serve. Like tennis?
Yes.
Okay.
Just... Yeah, it's a smaller court, obviously, and then you switch. And that's the serving rules are very... Both partners serve before you lose the serve, and you have to win on a serve, kind of like volleyball.
Yeah.
Right? So you serve. If I lose a serve, then my partner gets to serve. If they lose the serve... Then we switch, except on the first one. It's very complicated. Lee, you would hate the scoring system for pickleball because it's the score and then the number of the person who's serving. So it's like if it's 1-0 and then 1 is the server, right? And then 1-0-2 if I lose the serve and my partner is serving. So it goes, that third number is always 1 or 2. It's like, why don't you just use our names?
Yeah.
You know? Like,
Bam Bam.
1-0 Bun Bun.
Bam Bam. We'll be pebbles. All right. Great stuff,
Jamie. Yeah. Yeah. We'll revisit this again next time I play. Probably not.
Why not? Yeah.
Your sports loving friends at No Dunks have a Survivor podcast.
That's right.
A No Breaks F1 podcast, a baseball podcast. We talked cricket in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Skeets Can Start a Running podcast. Where's the pickleball?
Why not? Yeah, you're right. Tyson Apostle. He's a Survivor winner. Four-time player? He's a big
four-time player.
He's a professional pickleball player now, isn't he? Or he's
definitely on like the pickleball tour.
Yeah,
he's a pickleball ambassador at the very least.
So, gotta have him on.
Wow.
Well, I don't think you were the only person who was trying out pickleball. The courts were like packed with pickleballers the entire weekend. Like you're saying, it's been in the New York Times a few times at this point. Pickleball is the wave right now.
Yeah. We've got real courts around the corner from our place.
Oh, shit.
Because it's more like a squash sort of thing, isn't it? Where you can bounce it off the wall and still...
No.
No?
No. You can't bounce it off the wall.
I thought if it bounced off the wall, as long as it didn't hit the ground, you can still play. Okay. Anyway.
It's just like tennis in that sense. There's like lines on the ground. If it goes out of bounds, it's out.
Okay. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I've seen courts though as well.
Yeah.
I saw an area where there's 8 pickleball courts. 8 courts. Mm. More pickleball courts than tennis courts.
Shit.
It's got the size advantage. I guess if you have tennis courts, you just throw them on there.
Well, and apparently there's a big war between pickleballers and tennis players. Tennis players do not like pickleballers for some reason.
Well... Yeah, they're
too
the
many of them.
They're the Vlasic racket sport.
Yeah,
I tried. I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right,
I'm team pickleball all the way. So the tennis people don't at me, bros.
Anyways, Alan, what would be the name of your pickleball podcast?
Oh, great question.
No buns.
No bun buns. Yeah, no bun buns.
No bun buns.
Yeah, I got nothing better. That's good. All right, good stuff. What else we got in this this hub of sports activity this week? We got a no breaks coming up.
Yeah, we got no breaks tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern. One of the better races of the season, the Dutch Grand Prix over the weekend. So it should be fun to talk to Graydon about that one.
We'll have Is This Good a little bit later this week. Matty O, Skeets will be back. I think Lee's going to be on that baby as well. Hopefully some more flatulence talk. No.
I hope not.
No, come on, Matt.
I hope Matt's going a little deeper into the topics this week.
Doesn't get more deeper than farts, though. Anyway, all right, so stay tuned for all those. And if you need an athletic subscription, go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Subscriptions for only $1 a month for the next 6 months. But for now, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And The Athletic doesn't have pickleball coverage yet. But give it some time. Give it some time, baby. They're pickling out there.
We got a pod for you.
Pickle pod.
Pickling pod. See you next time.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.